We're going to turn again today back to our look at how Jesus met people where they were in life. And these are encounters he had with individuals. And as we do this each week, I kind of hope that these three statements about anthropology, the doctrine of man, I hope that they will stick with you just like our love God, love people, love Scripture sticks with you. And after about 40 of these, I think it may. So we do know every single person is a spiritual being. Every person is a sinful being. And as a sinful being, we are without hope if Christ does not do something on our behalf. And of course, He did, and that makes us savable, makes us redeemable, and it does give us a lot of hope and peace in life. So today, who we're going to focus on is a lady named Martha. I want you to start off by looking in Luke chapter 10. I do not usually turn to multiple passages on a Sunday morning because it can get a little bit cumbersome, and I sometimes just put the verse up on the screen. But today, I am going to have you actually turn to three different passages. So if you want to sort of kind of mark them ahead, you can. And if not, that's fine too. But we're going to start in Luke chapter 10. And what we're going to do is we're going to follow Martha through the New Testament. Okay, here's what happens. There are three times you find Martha, her sister, and her brother discussed in the New Testament. And we're going to look at each of those today, and you'll see how they fit together. And I think you're going to find an interesting flow to Martha's life as well. So in Luke chapter 10, the first chunk of our time in looking at Martha is, and I know it's going to sound weird, but it's going to focus on what I call an open complaint. Now, here's what you're going to find. As we go through the story of Martha, do kind of a biographical sermon and look at her life in Scripture and the encounter she had with Jesus, you're going to find that the word complaint or kind of grumbling some seems to find its way in the encounters she has with Jesus. This is really kind of odd. I wasn't expecting this. I wasn't planning on this. As I'm looking through this and studying, it's like, oh my goodness. So I'm kind of latching on to this idea of complaining as she encounters Jesus in his ministry. So look at the verses and you'll see what I'm getting at here. And let's see here, in verse 38, Bible says, as Luke gives us the account of this encounter, that it came to pass as they went. So as the disciples are walking about, they're following where Jesus is. So it comes to pass as they went, they're going about their way, that Jesus entered into a certain village. And there was a certain woman there named Martha, and Martha received him into her house. Now, just a little side note so you know where we are. This encounter occurs in a village called Bethany. Bethany is just a little bit east of Jerusalem. So we're in the same vicinity there where a lot of the different things happen as Jesus ministers. Now, the Bible says here that her name is Martha. And then in verse 39, we're introduced to her sister. So Martha invites him into her house. And Luke says she had a sister who is called Mary. Now, I'm going to give you a heads up. Today, we're going to talk about Martha. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about Mary. So we're going to consider these separately because of their encounters with Jesus. Two sisters, Gwen and Tracy, right here in the text. Y'all got to pick which one's which, though, because they're not going to both be real pretty, so y'all fight over this later. All right, so Martha receives him into her house. She's got a sister named Mary, and the Bible says about Mary that there in the house, Mary sat at Jesus' feet. That was a traditional place of a disciple. You sit at the feet of your teacher, seat of your master. So Mary sits at Jesus' feet, and the Bible says she heard or was listening to his word or his message. She's hanging on every word. Now, so far the story sounds pretty good. And I think Gwen and Tracy is already choosing which one they want to be married. Because Mary sounds like the good girl in this story so far, sitting there where Jesus is teaching, hanging on his every word, and she's there attentive. And I got a feeling Tracy's trying to claim that right now. I don't know, I just got a feeling. Anyway, this is getting too good now. So Mary is sitting there, and we will focus on her last week. But now we get to verse 40, and this is what it says. But Martha. Interesting way that starts. Says here that as Mary is seated there at Jesus' feet and she's listening to his instruction, listening to his teaching, Martha, though, was cumbered about or was distracted by much serving. Now, the word that Luke uses in verse 40 for cumbered there or distracted is a word that means to draw from around. Okay, so if you think about a person distracted, there's a lot of things going on. They're kind of, you know, jumping this way and then jumping that way. And there's a lot of things around them, kind of drawing their attention and drawing them off of the main focus. That is what Martha's got going on. So she is pulled away and distracted by so many different things. And specifically it says that it is her serving. Now, Martha is there in the house, and as best we can tell, her intention is to provide a very nice meal for Jesus, which I think is a good idea, right? If you've got, you know, kind of like the visiting preacher is coming or visiting evangelist for revival, and they're coming to your house for supper, you're going to be very busy in the kitchen. You're going to be trying to get everything together. Everything is clean. Everything's in place. And we're making preparations for the visit of this teacher, this rabbi, this one named Jesus. So Martha, Bible says, is quite busy here. And she's rushing about trying to prepare a special meal for Jesus. Here's what happens. Martha being distracted with all of her serving, she can't take it anymore. I kind of read it into the text. She can't take it anymore because Mary's just sitting there doing nothing. Okay, you're kind of getting the feel here. Okay, now, Gwen, Tracy, I'm not sure what you all want to do now with this, but okay, they're both staying silent at this point. So Martha there is distracted about all of her serving. Here's what she does. Can't take it anymore. She comes up to Jesus and she complains. Okay, here's what she says. Lord, I wonder how she did it. Was it a hand on the hip? I get that feel. So she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Isn't this interesting? The very first encounter recorded in the Bible about Martha, and it's what I call a very open complaint. Now, what is it about complaining? We all do it. And we got to say, it's fun. I mean, is it not fun at times when somebody gets you upset about something? Or you have nothing else better to do than to find something to complain about? And we've got this thing now called social media that just really blossoms into nothing but complaining and grumbling and ridicule. Okay, so we understand what it's like to complain. Now, somebody years and years ago, I heard basically say that they had decided to stop complaining. And why'd you stop complaining? Here's what they said. I've learned to stop complaining because 20% of the people who hear me don't care. And 80% are kind of glad I'm upset in the first place. Now, those aren't exact numbers. You can flip them. You know the point, though, is most people, they don't care to hear our complaints. And honestly, there are some that are thinking on the inside, I'm so glad you're upset over that. Right? That's just the way it is. So complaining. Now, Martha comes up there where Jesus is, and she blames her sister, but she also kind of blames Jesus too. You've interrupted preparations, and notice here she says that she has left me. It's almost like, now listen, before you got here, big fancy teacher, she was helping me, and she was right beside me. But when you showed up, okay, now I'm not just blaming Mary, I'm even blaming you. When you showed up, now all of a sudden she's gotten distracted from helping me, and she's sitting there doing nothing. That's from her perspective. And then she says to him, do you not even care about this? Now, I don't think I'm going too far to say that Martha in verse 40 is getting a little hot. I think she's getting a little frustrated here. And I heard a preacher again some years ago who said about verse 40, there's heat in the kitchen and it's not coming from the oven. Okay? So Martha kind of shows up, and again, I'm kind of slapping the hand on the hip and kind of looking at him and saying, do you think this food cooks itself? Right? Do you not care that she's left me to do all the serving and all the preparation? Now, I've got to laugh about something here, because when I see the word in the text, Martha, it reminds me of another Martha that a lot of us know. Years and years ago, not quite as popular today, but Martha Stewart caused issues for some of our ladies in her homes with her perfect cooking, her perfect decoration. And I thought it just might be fun today. This is not Mother's Day, but I thought it might be enjoyable today for our ladies to consider something I came across that basically compares Martha's way with a real woman's way. So here's what I came across. You may enjoy this as we think about the business and preparation. Martha's way. And I can't talk like she does. But you know, she's like so calm and quiet with it and just flows through it. And she says, just stuff a miniature marshmallow in the bottom of a sugar cone and that will prevent drips. The real woman way. Suck the ice cream out the bottom of the cone for Pete's sake. Okay, Martha's way says, to keep potatoes from budding, place an apple in the bag with the potatoes. The real woman's way, just buy a Hungry Jack mashed potato mitts and keep them in the pantry for up to a year. Ain't got to worry about it. Martha's way, when a cake recipe calls for flouring the baking pan, use a bit of the dry cake mitts instead and there won't be any white mess on the outside of the cake. The real woman's way. Go to the bakery and they'll even decorate it for you. Martha's way. If you accidentally oversalt a dish while it's still cooking, just drop in a peeled potato. It will absorb the excess salt for an instant. Fits me up. The real woman's way. If you oversalt a dish while you're cooking, that's too bad. I made it and you're going to eat it and I don't care how bad it tastes. Well, Martha's way says, just brush some beaten egg white over your pie crust before baking to yield a beautiful, glossy finish. The real woman's way. Mrs. Smith's frozen pie directions don't include brushing egg whites over crust, so don't do it. Martha's way versus the real woman way. Now, I got to tell you, when I read about Martha in this passage, so cumbered about, so distracted by her preparations and serving, it made me think about Martha Stewart. I should probably write her a letter and let her know. Now, here's the issue. So Martha gets there and she's very distracted. And the problem here is not that she's got too much work to do. The problem is she allowed the work to distract her and start to pull her apart. That's the problem. So now we look in verse 41. How is Jesus going to deal with this? Because this is an encounter. He knows where everybody's at. So Jesus in verse 41, he corrects her very gently and he says to her, Martha, Martha. I can hear the way he is saying it. Martha, dear Martha. My dear Martha. Martha, Martha. You are careful or worried and troubled about many things. You're upset over many details. You're getting worked up. You're doing what we call majoring on a minor. Martha, Martha. You're worried. That's the inward uneasiness. You're troubled about, that's the external bustle you're going through. And it's all over many, many things that really don't matter quite as much as you think they do. Now, let me give you a weapon in our society today that I think the devil uses. Years ago, I guess it was, I don't know, when was this? I don't even remember the years at this point with Iraq and all the different things going on and Gulf War, we was concerned about weapons of mass destruction, and we heard that term all the time. Can I introduce one today? I think here in verse 40, 41, you find the danger of weapons of mass distraction. And you know what that means? It means we're too stinking busy. The word stink is a Hebrew word, by the way. We are too stinking busy. Now, here's what happens. Martha gives us a picture of a person. I believe she loves Jesus as much as Mary does. She truly does. She's following Him. She's a disciple of His. And she wants to serve Him. But the distractions of life are pulling her away from the main dish at the meal. Years ago, I showed you a video sermon from J.D. Greer. J.D. Greer was the previous president of Southern Baptist Convention. And he wrote a book called Gospel Above All. That went with the theme of our convention a couple, 2 or 3 years ago. And in that book, he talked about the dangers we have with distractions in our society when it comes to evangelizing people. Okay, it's the gospel above all. But Satan has brought so many distractions in that we don't focus anymore on the most important. So there's a paragraph in this book I want to read to you, and I think you'll relate as you think about where we are today. Weapons of mass distraction. And this is what J.D. Greer wrote in a section about trying to witness to people, but you're dealing with all the distractions of life. And he's in a younger, kind of a younger culture, college town. This is what he says. While you are talking or trying to talk with someone about eternal destinies, here's what you're up against. Netflix is on pause, waiting to resume. And after they finish the episode they're on, Netflix will automatically roll to the next one. If they get bored with this show, there are another 5 in the queue ready to occupy them until or past bedtime. Or they can just hop back on social media while the not quite satisfying 7th episode is still rolling. Some headline is always breaking. Somebody, somewhere, just said something outrageous that demands our immediate attention. Or they can just catch up on those vacation pictures posted by their best friends, sons, girlfriends, veterinarians, stepdaughter. Here's its conclusion. We have a society that is seemingly designed to eliminate any space for reflection. Weapons of mass distraction. Martha, she loves God and she's right on the same page as Mary. But there's so much going on in her life that she's prioritizing that Jesus says to her, "Oh, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things." But then he concludes in verse 42. There's really only one thing that's needful right now. Mary has chosen the good part. She's chosen the main dish, if you will, with the preparation, the best dish on the table. She's chosen the good part, and that part shall not be taken away from her. Now, Jesus obviously chooses Mary's side over Martha's side. Now, what is the issue for Martha as Jesus explains this in verse 42? He kind of rebukes her here, not because she's worked hard to prepare a dinner. That's really not the issue. He rebukes her because she was so busy making the perfect meal that she failed to nourish her soul. And we'll talk about Mary next week and we'll go into that. But basically, and this is what you got to be careful of. She was serving, but starving. So there was a guy. He knew the owner of a local pizza restaurant and he went there often. Knew the guy really well. And he said, what he noticed is every single day, he didn't go every day, but as he went, every time he went into the pizza restaurant, for about 90 minutes around lunchtime, that place was a zoo. A lot of restaurants are at lunchtime. Oh my goodness. Good. Yeah, you drive by places and see the cars outside. It's like, it's a zoo at lunchtime. One day he went into the restaurant, and as the crowd was starting to die down, the owner finally got a chance to stop and talk with him. And so the owner, as they were conversing, the owner asked the guy how he was doing. And he said, well, now that I've had lunch, I'm doing a lot better. Okay, I feel a lot better. And the owner responded and said, you know, I'm that kind of person too. If I don't eat when I need to and if lunch is too late, I'll get a little shaky. So the guy said to the owner, he said, well, man, you got to be in the most perfect place in all the world then. You're at a restaurant. You own the restaurant. And here's what the owner said. The owner said, sometimes we are so busy serving it that we don't have time to eat it ourselves. You can serve others while starving yourself. And when that happens, you end up with a Martha meltdown. Martha's busy about a lot of stuff. Serve, 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 serve. And Jesus says, Martha, it's not so much that you got the wrong idea trying to serve a meal, but you haven't done the best thing. Now, let me give you a warning. Let me give you a warning. I may have said this in the past, but let's say it again in this context. Just a little warning here with Martha. What we do with Christ is more important than what we do for Christ. Now, that sounds like blasphemy. I know that. I know that. Because we like to be busy. And there's opportunities to serve and do this and do that. And I know. But do not overlook the importance of your relationship with Him and try to replace that by what you do for Him. Very important. It's key. And that's what Jesus is getting at in verse 42 when He commends Mary and kind of rebukes Martha. Now, let me give you a little insight. I love over the 20, just over 20 years, I love when people call me and they text or they email or they catch me and they say, hey, can I meet with you on Tuesday or Wednesday this week and talk about something? I love it. Some pastors hate counseling or talking with people. I love it. I love it because I want to try to help. But let me kind of give you something that might help you ahead of time as you think about it. What I find is when folks through the years, when they come to discuss an issue, and it's not always bad. I mean, it's just like, hey, I need some wisdom for this job situation. It's nothing bad. But I just want to make sure what I'm doing is right. Okay. I don't know if you're going to believe me when I say this, or maybe understand why I say this, but when issues arise in life, the first question a biblical counselor should ask, okay, is this. How is your devotional life? That's it. That's the first question. Now, listen, I'll listen, and I'm going to jot down notes, and I do. I jot down a lot of notes, and I try to formulate something to help you in the end. But my little brain is thinking, all right, now Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these things will be added to you. So I'm the kind of person, when we sit down and talk, I'm like, how is your devotional life right now? And I'm just going to tell you, I mean, you can imagine the answer. When folks are honest, and I had one 2 weeks ago, met with a young guy, nothing bad again. And honest, he told me, he said, I got to tell you something. He said, I bet it's been 9 years since I've opened my Bible. All right. What you do with Christ, okay, your time with Him, connection with Him, is more important than just what you do for Him. So Martha's running around. She's distracted, and when she gets there to Him, she comes there with what I call an open complaint. Now, watch what happens in her life, and this is so interesting. Now turn, and again, I don't usually get you to do this, but I want you to see it. Turn to the second passage in John chapter 11. Very interesting what happens now in Martha's life. And we're going to follow this next week with Mary too. We're just doing Martha today. John chapter 11. If you recognize that chapter, you will know this is a story of the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. Now, who is Lazarus? Well, guess what? Lazarus is the brother of Martha. Same lady. So what happens now in this story is what I call a subtle complaint. Okay? Now, let's watch and see how it happens. And we're going to go through this really quickly. First verse, chapter 11, John. Now there was a certain man who was sick. His name was Lazarus. He was there in Bethany. And Bethany is a town of Mary and her sister Martha. Okay? Same Martha and Mary. We're going to talk about next week. Same Martha and Mary. It's their brother Lazarus who is sick. And as you read through the chapter, you learn that Lazarus ends up dying. So they go and call for Jesus because Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus are very close. I think he was at their house a lot. They were very close. So they call for Jesus. And when Jesus is on his way, look in verse 20. Here's Martha. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary was still there in the house. And here's what she does in verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here..." Is that a subtle complaint? Possibly. "Lord, I want you to know something here. Now, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Why? Because you've got authority to heal him. He'd still be up on his feet right now if you had just been here. Now look at the rest of the encounter in John 11. She says in verse 22, "But I know," okay, "I've got faith, okay, "I know though that even now, whatever you will ask of God, he'll give you." You can speak a word right now and you can still bring healing and restore his life. So Jesus said to her in verse 23, "Your brother is going to rise again." And Martha's like, "I know that. Thank you. I know that." Martha said to him, "I know that he's going to rise again in the resurrection of the last day." But I'm talking about right now. So then Jesus said to her, because he knows what she's thinking, he says, "Well, guess what? Right now, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in me, even though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall actually never die." Okay, spiritually, right? Separation from God. Shall never die. So then he turns back to Martha and says, "Martha, do you believe this?" And man, her faith comes shining through. Verse 27. She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the one we were told is going to come into the world." That's Martha. Now we get later on in the story. Look in verse 39. So now we get to the point where Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the tomb. And it's Martha again that speaks up. And Jesus says in verse 39, "Take ye," okay, that's the plural use, that's the y'all. This is, I mean, honestly, I joke about it, but you need to know, this is not a singular you, this is a plural ye. So y'all, take away, grab some folks, y'all take away the stone where Lazarus is. Now hold on, Martha now speaks up. It's Martha, and she's a sister of him who had died. It's hard enough as a sister, your brother has just died at a fairly young age, it appears, with illness. That's hard. And she says, "But hold on, Lord, by this time, there's a stench of death," right? The body starts to deteriorate. Well, why is that? Well, because in the end of the verse, he's been dead for 4 days. "Lord, no. We don't want to do that right now." You see there, I mean, a kind of subtle complaint. Like, no, let's not do that right now. The smell, and I don't think we should do that. But then Jesus says to her, "Did I not say to you earlier that if you just believe, you would see the glory of God?" And then, of course, he proceeds to raise Lazarus from the dead. And everybody's happy, 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 right? Everything is good. But I want you to see the progression here. The same one who initially complains here openly, "Lord, please, would you just please tell my sister to step in and help? It's kind of your fault." And now Jesus comes there with situation with Lazarus. "Lord, now if you had been here," okay, maybe not quite as strong, "but if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened." Now watch what happens. Turn to John chapter 12. The third time, first few verses, the third time Mary and Martha are found with this encounter with Christ. And again, we will talk about Mary next week through this. But now guess what happens? John chapter 12. We find no complaint. Very interesting. Bible says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany," right? That's where they live, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He comes back there to Bethany. Of course, he's raised Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11. They come back there to Bethany where Lazarus was, that one who had been dead, that Jesus raised from the dead. Man, this is like shouting ground. We ain't got over it yet, man. Things are good. And guess what they were doing? Man, they were eating. We always celebrate with a meal. That's a biblical, godly thing to do. Liz is smiling at that. We always celebrate with a meal. So it's not just a Baptist thing. It's a Christian thing. All right. So then, it says in verse 2, there where Lazarus is, that's the one Jesus raised from the dead. So 6 days before the Passover, come there to Bethany, and guess what they were doing? There they made him a supper. Jesus is back in the house again. Y'all get out the pots and pans and spoons and forks. We're going to eat again because Jesus is back in the house. And guess what we find the next two words or next three words? And Martha served. Isn't that interesting? Back in Luke chapter 10, who was it? It was Martha serving. Her desire, her calling in life was to serve and to do. Now in chapter 10 of Luke, it was a distraction in her life. But now it says in chapter 12 of John, and Martha served. That's all it says. Lazarus was one of them that sat there at the table with him. Now, I want you to kind of consider what's going on here. Martha, again, is serving a meal. We see no indication in the text that she was complaining. In fact, we're going to look at it next week, but in verse 3, guess where Mary was? She's back at Jesus' feet again. Doing something different, but back at His feet. And we're going to see that next week. And Martha, this time, it seems, she's just happily serving. Now, I want you to consider something in verse, well, the first two verses here. In the context, we discover that you've got Jesus there. You've got His 12 disciples there. You've got her brother there. And you've got her sister there. And if you do the math, you will run out of fingers and toes, or fingers, right? 15 people now in the house. And Martha, what did she do? She served. And nowhere is there indication that she complained. Isn't this an interesting progression in Martha's life from an open complaint to maybe a subtle complaint? And now by the end of Jesus' ministry, she's there just serving as a disciple. And so thankful for her calling. And not too concerned about what the others are doing or what they are thinking. It seems to me that Jesus made an impact on her life in Luke chapter 10. And it went right on through the rest of her life. So I shall give you two items to carry away from the story today. The encounter with Martha. And then we'll be done. Number one, Martha started off with a complaint. Let me give you a verse that I call a significant challenge. I said this today in my Sunday school class, that we all know the Big Ten, right? Ten Commandments, and there are certain ones there we struggle with. There's different commands and principles of Scripture we struggle with. But I'm going to say something I think might be true. There's a command in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, that I believe every single believer struggles with. And it's where Paul writes, do everything, believer, without complaining, grumbling, and arguing. Now, he's not writing that to lost people. If you meet a lost person, unchurched, and they grumble about everything and complain about everything, they're doing according to their nature. But I'm talking about for the believer. And Paul says to the believer, here is your task, here is your challenge, do everything without complaining and arguing. Does that hit you like it hits me? I find myself complaining and fussing and disgusted with stuff. And when I remember this verse, you know what happens? Conviction of the Holy Spirit says, you know what? You should not be acting like that as a Christ follower. And I said, you know what, you're right. But it's so hard not to. Mary or Martha came on the scene. Lord, don't you care? She ain't doing nothing but... And she's just complaining. And I'm just not so sure that we're all that different sometimes. So there is the verse. There is a challenge to me, a significant challenge. Do everything without grumbling, complaining, disputing. Now let me give you the second one that comes from Martha. Second thing that kind of stands up to me in this text. And I said this earlier, but be careful that you not do so much for the Lord that you neglect to spend time with the Lord. And that is way easier than you think. Way easier than you think. It's not an either-or situation. It's something you keep in balance, right? The relationship with Him drives our doing for Him. And that's what Martha teaches us in this encounter. So that's what I pull from the encounter that Martha had, three different occasions. Next week, we're going to flip the text, and now we're going to look at Mary and her encounter in these three circumstances. So let's bow as we close in prayer and the opportunity to respond in prayer to your text today. As we bow together at the close of these verses and looking at Martha's life and the progression of her life, it looks like from the text, I want you to have the opportunity before we go, while we're in this moment, to respond. And yes, you know this altar area is wide open. If you need to come today and pray here at the altar, there at your seat. But it's just an opportunity before we leave just to respond. And it may be that something in the text today kind of knocked you right across the side of your head. I know that it does me. And I know the struggle with grumbling and complaining. And I don't want that to hurt my witness. I don't want it to hurt your witness either. So it may be something there. Or maybe you're one of those people that's do. I got to do. Distractions got to do. And then you realize, you know what? I haven't opened my Bible this week. I haven't talked to God this week. I haven't developed my relationship with Him more this week. And maybe as we close in this time, just in case you've come in today without Christ, He's not your Savior. He's not your Lord. You've not made that decision. But today, I think it's around March 13th of 2022, kind of a cold morning, a little snow on the ground. Maybe this is the day that God's led you here because He's giving you another chance to respond to the gospel, to commit your life to Him, to acknowledge you're a sinner, to repent of sin, and receive Christ by faith as your Savior and your Lord. So this time is for our response. So I'm going to be quiet. You pray, respond. And at the end of our service, if you do want to talk with me, obviously come up to me, we can. But after we have a little bit of silent time here, then I'm going to close us in prayer before we go. Father, thank You for the reminder of the piano keys and the sounds coming forth from that piano. I think it's the idea of You calling and calling sinners to come home and calling us to respond. And so today You've heard our prayers. It may be that right from something in the text, we've been able to respond and ask for help to be more like what Christ expects when it comes to our complaining at times and grumbling and maybe the distractions of life that kind of get our focus off of the main dish. And if there's one here today that prayed to receive Christ and commit their life to You, then as we close, certainly hope that ones would come and say, Pastor, I want you to know that today is when I finally made my decision to be saved and become a Christian. So you know today, decisions we've made and matters we've lifted up to You that may or may not have anything to do with the text, but You are able to take care of those. So do that. And as we leave, do give us a good week, a safe week. Bless in this week and help us to take what we've seen in Martha's life and apply it to ours. So we love You and we lift up praises to You and we come to You in Jesus' name as we pray. Amen.